Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than a watchman for the morning. More than a watchman for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption.
And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter, beginning at the fifth verse. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our readings from St. Luke's Gospel today and in the Wednesdays that will follow invite us to step back into a different time, into a different place. It's like getting dropped into a foreign culture. We don't fully understand the practices of that time, the strange customs that they had. It's a bit almost like living nativity, but not exactly the same time or place. This takes place 15 months earlier, 450 days before Christmas. It was 6 months before the angel Gabriel would visit Mary, and then another 9 months of her pregnancy. And this takes place in a different location, not in backwater Bethlehem with its bustling markets, but in a towering temple, an extravagant building, the center of life for a first century Jew. And this involves different people. Not a young woman, Mary, but an older man. You watch him enter the temple. His name, Zechariah. He's a priest from the division of Abijah, and it just so happened that this time his lot was chosen. He was a man described as being righteous and without blame. It doesn't mean that he had no sin, but it means that he had a faith that trusted God's promises and his words. He also has no children. It may be the only time in his life that Zechariah serves in this particular role, where he puts on the priestly robes. It's the hour of evening sacrifice, a holy place, a holy time. He's bringing in the incense that will be placed on the burning coal. It'll go on the altar that stands right in front of that temple curtain that shields the holy place from the most holy place. Behind that curtain, no one goes, not even Zechariah, only the high priest, and him only once a year. You watch Zechariah climb the steps into the holy place. His hands are trembling, his steps are shaky. He climbs the stairs, and then he disappears. You're outside. You're waiting. You're praying. Believing God's promises, waiting for their fulfillment to come, wondering how long it will be. You wait, and you pray, as you've done many times there in the temple courtyard, and it seems like it takes him forever to return. Far longer than usual, you start to get restless. You wonder if something happened to that elderly priest. When will he return? What's taking so long? And then suddenly he comes out, and you're waiting, waiting for him to speak, waiting for him to give that Aaronic benediction, the Lord bless you and keep you. But he doesn't. He says nothing. He's silent, speechless, mute. Oh yes, he does try to make some signs with his arms. He makes motions, but no one knows or understands what he's trying to say. You've never seen this happen before. It's strange. Something happened inside that temple. Something big. A sign of some sort. A vision, perhaps. But of what? And what does it mean? Only Zechariah knows. And he can't communicate it yet. His silence, is it punishment for a lack of faith? Maybe. Is it a sign of assurance to show that what was promised will truly happen? Might be that as well. Or is it a matter of secrecy? So that what happened in the temple will remain hidden until the time of fulfillment arrives. As if there's something gestating and waiting to be brought forth. An angel of the Lord appeared to him. Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Those words are always a reminder that an appearance of an angel is a frightening thing. It's also a reminder that this angel does not come with judgment, but he comes rather with a gift. I am Gabriel, he says. I stand in the presence of God. And Zechariah is struck mute by the angel. Not a word about what he is seeing. Zechariah, too, has been waiting. He's been waiting for all the promises that God made, waiting and waiting and waiting with the people of Israel. Do you know how long it's been since there was a prophet in Israel? Close to 400 years, where God has been silent. And they've gone about their duties, the morning sacrifices and the evening sacrifices and the yearly rituals, waiting and waiting and waiting. Zechariah's been praying for something else as well, for a child. I don't know if he still was praying that when he entered the temple, and I don't know if he felt foolish if he did, but he's been waiting. And the angel tells Zechariah, your wife will have a son. Yes, even in your advanced years, beyond all expectation, beyond all hope. But like Sarah and Abraham, like Rebecca and Isaac, like Rachel with Jacob, like Hannah and Elkanah, he will be given a gift of God. This boy will be special. He'll belong completely to God, and he'll live completely for men in order to lead them to God. Zechariah is like all of ancient Israel. It's been waiting, it's been hoping, it's been expecting, perhaps has been doubting and wondering if all of it will happen. A bit like us, I suppose. It's not been 400 years now, but 2,000 years. And there are promises that we are waiting for the fulfillment of. We who come and enter into this holy place at this holy time, week after week, year after year after year. Believing, hoping, trusting, wondering, doubting. This child will have a name. His name will be John. It's always striking to me that in the scriptures, with some of the most important children and births of all, the parents do not get to name the child. They don't have the privilege and joy that so many of us have had. They're given a name, handed it. His name will be John. John means the Lord has been gracious. Yahweh has been gracious. Gracious to Zechariah and Elizabeth? Absolutely. But his grace extends even further than them. it extends to you and to me. This conception of a child in Elizabeth's womb is good news to us, and the angel Gabriel tells Zechariah that it will be a source of joy, not only to him and to Elizabeth, but to many, a source of joy for us in this long waiting and hoping and praying. What will this child be whose birth is announced in such a strange fashion? Not by a pregnancy test or a missed cycle, but rather by an angel. He will be great before the Lord. He will not drink strong drink or wine, because he will be dedicated to the Lord and his purposes, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And the result will be that the preaching of this child will bring many to repentance. He will turn the hearts of many from their sin to the God who forgives sin in the Savior who is coming. He will bring those who are lifted up down low, and he will raise those who are low high with forgiveness. And this one will come before another. Before the Lord himself, this conception announces that there will be another child, like John, but greater, whose way he prepares. Zechariah hears, and he cannot believe that in his day, in his time, in that place, everything they've been waiting for is coming to fulfillment at last. He returns home. And Elizabeth conceives just as the angel promised. I picture Elizabeth a little bit like the entire Old Testament church, again waiting and hoping and holding in her womb this promise beyond expectation, a gift of grace hidden away, her reproach removed, because although we know that Elizabeth and Zechariah are blameless, it's very likely those around them considered their barrenness as a sign of God's judgment upon them. But the time is fulfilled. The promises are coming true. All of the promises are coming true. All of the promises that Zechariah and Elizabeth were waiting for, and all of the promises that you and I have been waiting for, they are coming true, and the conception of this child is evidence of it. Don't doubt, but hope. And wait and pray. For this child, John, is preparing the way for another, for Jesus. Even in conception and birth, these two are linked, these two great figures, John as the old and Jesus as the new and greater one, the one who will take over the holy priesthood, the one who will go not only to the altar of incense, but who will go beyond when the temple curtain is torn, and who will make peace with the Father for those who've been estranged. That greater priest, Jesus, who at the end of Luke's gospel will stand before his people, and whose mouth will not be mute, but will open his mouth in blessing and proclaim over his church the benediction, peace through his death, his conception, his birth, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. In this Advent season, we are waiting, we are hoping, we are praying. But the promise has been made, already the seed has been planted, and in due time, it will come to fulfillment through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Savior of the nations, come. Virgin Son, make here your home. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the such a birth. Not by human flesh and blood, by the Spirit of our God, was the Word of God made flesh, woman's offspring pure and fresh.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Let your priests be clothed with righteousness.
And let your saints shout with joy.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations on earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
And let all the peoples praise you.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten.
And the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and be saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O God, who alone knits all infants in the womb, you chose improbable servants, old and childless, to conceive and parent the forerunner of Christ, and in so doing demonstrated again your strength in weakness. Grant us, who are as unlikely and unworthy as Zacharias and Elizabeth, the opportunity to love and serve you according to your good and gracious will, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your word and spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but remember that we are ever walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Hear us.